We'll actually be reading from Romans 16. So if anybody doesn't have a Bible and didn't pick up one on the way in, you could raise your hands and someone will deliver it. Thank you. So that was page 1048. Romans chapter 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea. So you should welcome her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever matters she may require your help. For indeed she has been a benefactor of many, and of me also. Give my greetings to Prisca and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life. Not only do I thank them, but so do all the Gentile churches. Greet also the church that meets in their home. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ from Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow countrymen and fellow prisoners. They are noteworthy in the eyes of the apostles, and they were also in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, who was approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow countrymen. Greet those who belong to the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have worked hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send you greetings. Now I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause dissensions and obstacles contrary to the doctrine you have learned. Avoid them, for such people do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. They deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting with smooth talk and flattering words. The report of your obedience has reached everyone. Therefore, I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise about what is good, yet innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Timothy, my co-worker, and Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my fellow countrymen, greet you. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greet you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now to him who has the power to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the proclamation about Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept silent for long ages, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic scriptures, according to the command of the eternal God to advance the obedience of faith among all nations, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory forever. Amen.
Great. Well, thanks for the reading, Peter. Friends, very, very significant evening tonight, isn't it? Coming to the end of the book of Romans, a book that we started last year, and we ploughed through the first eight chapters, that we came back at it again this year and have looked at chapters 9 and tonight through to chapter 16. And it's a bit of a strange chapter, isn't it? I wonder, perhaps for the regulars amongst us here, as Peter read that for us, you may very well have been thinking, this chapter sounds kind of boring. That, you know, perhaps this doesn't seem that significant. That compared to the rest of this letter, not super significant, right? And I guess I probably want to say there's some truth to that, right? Because this letter has already revealed some amazing truths. It's declared to us the gospel. It's told us the good news that when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't die for anything that he had done, but he died for us, in our place, to pay the penalty for sin that we deserve, that we incurred. And so it's told us some incredible news, the best news. But in this chapter, it kind of feels like we're going through the motions. That the Apostle Paul, this authorized messenger of the Lord Jesus, that he's kind of now just finishing off this letter. Finishing off in the same way that any first century letter was finished. A little bit longer, perhaps, than others, but with the various greetings, the final words that go along with that, much like today when a movie finishes and you've got the various credits that scroll. So too first century letters with their various greetings and so on, their final words. And what do we do with that? Well, I think on one hand we say this stuff, it's unavoidable, and that's because we're dealing with history, and so a letter from the first century will delve into first century conventions. But what I want to say is that even in the midst of conventions, this chapter does have something very important to tell us. Because from these seemingly incidental details, these various greetings, these farewell words, I want to argue that we're given an insight into what it looks like when people truly know Jesus. Now, what it looks like when people are changed by Jesus. And so the first thing we notice is that when these people, these first century Christians in Rome, when they are changed by Jesus, they're given a whole new purpose. And so look at Phoebe in verse 1. She's come to the Roman church from another. Probably quite likely, she was the one who was chosen to deliver this letter. But the church in Rome, they didn't know her. And so Paul commends her to them, and he actually expects that they will look after her. He expects that they will assist her with anything she wants. And that in and of itself, I think, is kind of extraordinary. Under what circumstances would you do that? If someone arrived at your doorstep holding just a letter that told you to take them in and give them whatever they wanted, an absolute stranger, under what circumstances would you do that? It's hard to imagine, I think. But Paul, he just expects that it will happen. And that's because now that the church in Rome, now that they know Jesus, now that they've been changed by Jesus, they have a whole new purpose in life. So that now, for them, life is no longer just about themselves, or their friends and family, or pleasure, or what it is, whatever it was that they might have been pursuing. They're now part of a much bigger thing. They're now part of God's work, part of declaring the good news about Jesus, the news about God's love. And each of them has a role to play in that. And so, of course, they'll look after this messenger, Phoebe. Of course, they'll take care of her. a messenger who, we're told, has actually been very generous herself and helped many in the past. And so what we have here are people who have been changed by Jesus, people who have been given a whole new purpose. And we see this again in verse 2. There we've got Prisca and Aquila. They're described as co-workers. We know a little bit more about these two. They pop up a number of times throughout the New Testament, and there we can read about how they gave the Apostle Paul a lot of help, tremendous help, during his ministry. And again, here we're told that they even risked their lives for Paul. They are people who have been so changed by Jesus that their lives, they're not about themselves anymore. They're part of a much bigger thing, a much better thing. They're part of God's people, and they want others to join them. They want others to hear the good news about Jesus and find life in him. So much so that they are willing to risk their own lives to see that happen. Or again, Mary in verse 6. She works hard, very hard for the Roman church because she's been changed by Jesus. She's been given a new purpose by Jesus. And so too, Tryphena and Tryphosa and Persis in verse 12. They all work hard for the Roman church. They've all been changed by Jesus. They've all been given a new purpose by Jesus. And they want to see this good news go out to the world. But why does that happen? Why does knowing Jesus change people like that? Now, why does it give them a whole new purpose, a whole new meaning to life, so that you might even risk your own life so that others can hear this good news? Well, I wonder, has anyone ever saved your life? You know, perhaps you're pulled out of the ocean, seemingly moments from death. Or perhaps a friend pushed you out of the way of an oncoming truck that you just didn't see. If that has happened to you, if someone has saved your life, then you'll know that profound sense of gratitude, that profound sense of thankfulness that you feel toward that person. Because you know that quite literally you owe that person your life. Well, coming to know Jesus is quite a bit like that. Because when you really know Jesus, you don't just know him as a distant historical figure. When you truly know Jesus, you know him as your Saviour. You know him as the one who gave his life so that you didn't have to. There is this profound sense of gratitude. But more than that, of course, Jesus doesn't just save us from an eternal death. He actually shows us what life is truly about. Now, it's not about getting into the housing market or getting a great job, having a great reputation, a loving family. It's not about any of those things. It's about knowing God. It's about being in a relationship with the God who made us. That's what life's about. And that's what happens when you come to know Jesus. You don't just receive the promise of a sure and certain future after death. You get a whole new take on what life is about, on what matters, what's important, what we should devote our lives toward. And that's because now we see things from an eternal perspective. And because of that, we can work out the things that will last. The things that we should be spending our time on. The things that we should work hard at. And so knowing Jesus, it changes us. It gives us a new purpose. It gives us a whole new perspective on our lives. But you'll notice here, I think also, it gives us a whole new affection for others. I wonder if you noticed that. as the passage was being read. Verse 5, greet my dear friend, Epaphroditus. Verse 8, greet Amphilatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Verse 12, greet my dear friend, Persis. Even down in verse 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. There is a lot of affection right here. A lot of affection for people in a church that Paul had never visited. Now, we don't know when or where Paul came across these people. For many of them, this is the only time we read about them in the pages of history. But what we do know is that he developed a deep affection for them during the time that he spent with them in whatever church or whatever situation that was. And again, I think that comes back to being changed by Jesus. Because when we know Jesus, when we are changed by Jesus, we don't just get a whole new purpose in life. We get a whole new bunch of friends. A big group of co-workers, others who now know Jesus, others who have been changed by Jesus, others who have the same purpose that you now have, and you work together as a team. And as a team, you love and you care for one another. I'm sure you know that, right? This happens in all teams. When you're all committed to the one thing, whether it's putting on a play or building a playground or whatever common cause it is, you bond as a team. You come to love your team. You have deep affection for your co-workers. And that's certainly what we're seeing in this letter. We're seeing Paul's love for those that he's worked alongside being poured out onto these pages. Or again, I think we can see the affection for others that Jesus brings when we cast our eyes down some of the names that pop up. Because what we see here, I think, is a very beautiful thing. We see people separated by race working together. Jews and Gentiles. Those who were enemies in the first century working side by side, working as one. And we see people separated by class, both slave and free, working side by side, working as one. We see people who, without Jesus, in the first century, would be enemies. We see them working together, side by side, working as one to make Jesus known. This is a beautiful thing. It's an example, I think, of what Jesus meant when he said in John 13:35 that by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Because to the outside world, these people, they shouldn't have been friends. Outside of churches, people, they didn't get this. But these are people who have been changed by Jesus, given a new purpose. They have developed a new love for one another, and now they work side by side telling the world about Jesus. It's a beautiful thing, the chapter that was read for us. But I want to suggest it's still happening today. Now, this week we've got Kids Quest. It's a big deal. We've got a lot of people from 5 p.m. Churchy helping out. We've also got a lot of people from the other congregations here at North Mead and Winston Hills helping out. We've got young people, lots of youth leaders helping out, teaching the kids. We've got old people, again, helping out, teaching the kids. We've got men, we've got women. We've got lots of different people doing lots of different things. Lots of people who may never have met each other before, but they are working together, working as one, working side by side to see the gospel go out. Some of us making coffee in the cafe tent. Some of us taking photos for the daily slideshow. Others playing in the band. Others acting in the dramas. Others giving talks. Others providing food. Others making the props. Others funding it. The list here goes on about Kids Quest. Different people doing different things because they know Jesus. They've been changed by Jesus. and they want to see the gospel go out. Now, it's going to be the same during harvest. Everyone working together. Some people inviting lots of people. Now, others doing the music. Others doing the sound. Lots of people doing lots of different things. It's what we see in Romans. Phoebe carrying the letter. At other times, she's a benefactor, funding another's ministry. And those running the churches in their homes. Some even been imprisoned for proclaiming Jesus. Lots of people doing lots of different things. But they're doing it because they know Jesus. Because if you know Jesus, you too, you have this new purpose. To follow Jesus and to help others follow him. And so certainly one of the things that will come out of this chapter tonight is simply to say, get involved. Work with others to help the good news about Jesus go out to the world. And of course, you don't have to do exactly what someone else is doing. You don't have to copy what they're doing. We all have our own strengths and gifts and so forth. But do something. Work with others. Help others to find out about Jesus. Work alongside each other. Consider yourselves co-workers, just as Paul considered himself co-workers with these in Romans 16. Work with others to see the gospel go out. I had a great time this afternoon, actually. Headed out with Jeff Donahue. Headed round on Barnett's Road, just door-knocking houses, talking to the people who are home, inviting, if they've got kids along the Kids Quest, invite them on the harvest. Jeff's not a guy I've spent a huge amount of time with. But we've got a common purpose. We want to see the gospel go out. There are incredible ways that we can work together to see the gospel go out. But finally, I guess the last question I think to come out of this passage is what about you tonight? Are you part of the team? Do you know Jesus? Have you been changed by Jesus? Do you know his love? His love that drove him to the cross. Well, friends, if you don't, make sure you come along next week and the week after and the week after and the week after for harvest, for 4 weeks, hearing about the absolute truth. We'll be dealing with some big topics. The absolute truth about God. Is there anything bigger? The absolute truth about us. That's a question that makes us think about ourselves, isn't it? Absolute truth about love. What is love? The absolute truth about life and death. What comes next? These are 4 big weeks looking at 4 big things that matter. Make sure you come along. Make sure you invite others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for the book of Romans. We thank you that over the couple of years in which we've been looking at it, we thank you for the incredible truths that we've learnt from it. Father, we thank you that in it we've heard the gospel. We've heard the great news of Jesus' death for us, so that all who turn to him will be saved. Father, as your people, please continue to change us. Please continue to grow in us this sense of a common goal, a common purpose, to see the Lord Jesus proclaimed in all the world. And Father, we pray particularly for harvest coming up, that we might invite many, and indeed many would come to hear this good news, and that you would be at work changing them. And so too, we give you thanks for Kids Quest. We pray and ask that it would be a wonderful week, a week where many, many kids would hear the great news about the Lord Jesus, that they would come to know him and be changed by him. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.
time to bring out your connect cards, please. Anything struck you from what Mike's just said? Questions, challenges, prayer points? Please just take 30 seconds to note.